About 225 million mobile devices will receive a test emergency alert tomorrow from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. It will read Presidential Alert and include a sound similar to an Amber Alert or flood warning. It's the first test of FEMA's National Wireless Emergency System and will also activate on muted devices or those in Do Not Disturb mode. A mixed day on Wall Street. Declining stocks outnumbered those advancing, the Dow gaining 122, closing at a record high for the 14th time this year. The NASDAQ and S&P both lower. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. Got a really packed, very entertaining show for you today. We're going to be covering three of my favorite topics, literature, as well as music, as well as drama. So it's going to be a fun show and a very informative show today. We'll be opening up talking to Alan Rossler. He is the guest speaker, one of many terrific guest speakers that Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University has brought on board. He'll be talking about Ernest A. Love. If that name doesn't sound familiar, very soon it will. Trust me on that. Then our middle portion will be with Scott Smith. He has co-written and directed a very exciting and entertaining movie called Chasing the Blues that will be debuting Friday in Scottsdale. And then William Larson and Jonathan Perpich will be here. They portray Mitch and Maury in the new very intimate PCA stage drama Tuesdays with Maury. And because we have such a packed show, we're going to get right to it because Alan Rossler's right around the corner on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
The hassles of property management can leave you frazzled. Lengthy background checks, bad tenants, interpreting landlord-tenant laws. At Top Notch Property Management and Sales, we're experts in property management, from marketing and tenant screening to lease negotiation and timely rental payments. Top Notch knowledge and expertise, along with 28 years of real estate experience, will take the hassle out of property management so that you can enjoy being an owner and not a landlord. Discover why we're top notch. Give us a call, 772-4801, or online at topnotchprescott.com.
Are you looking for the right product at the right price with outstanding customer service? A&E Reprographics brings it all together with a variety of printing that includes banners, business cards, and so much more. A&E Reprographics will get you the best products at the best price, all with our 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:05. One of the speakers of ERAU's terrific guest speaker series is Alan Rossler. He's speaking about Prescott aviation history. He's going to focus his talk on Ernest A. Love. Now, I wonder how many people in the Prescott area who know all about Love Field but don't know who Ernest Love is. Tell us who he is.
Yes, Ernest Love, our local hero here, he is, should I say, Ernest Love, start out, Ernest Love's mother, Ernest Love's mother was instrumental in getting Prescott's airport named Ernest A. Love Field in August 26, 1928, and...
Now he was a World War I flying ace, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. He was a World War I flying ace.
Now, was he born in Prescott? What roots did he have here?
Ernest Love was not born in Prescott. He was born in Raton, New Mexico on November 30th, 1895. He moved to Prescott in 1898 after his father, Alan Love, got a job with the Santa Fe, Prescott, and Phoenix Railway.
Mm-hmm. Now, was the Love family influential in Prescott?
Yes, the Love family was very influential in Prescott, primarily because of his mother, Louetta Love, and also his father, Alan Love, and he was a railroad engineer in Prescott.
Now, Ernest A. Love, what did he major in Stanford, and what got him involved in the Army, which of course led him to World War I?
He was an engineering major at Stanford University, and, what led him into World War I, he joined the Reserve Officer Training Corps at Stanford University in his junior year. Draft started on May 18th, 1917. He filled out his draft registration card May 26, 1917. He was one of the first ROTC registrants, and he entered the first ROTC summer camp in the summer of 1917 at the Presidio in San Francisco.
And one of the reasons he joined the Presidio one was because I understand Stanford didn't have an ROTC branch, did they?
That's correct. Stanford did not have an ROTC branch at that time. That is correct.
Now, why did he leave Stanford to join the Army?
He was patriotic, and that's why he wanted to get in the Army, and he wanted to get into aviation.
Mm-hmm. And you take us back to that time in aviation. That was over 100 years ago. If he graduated from ROTC and they taught him all about airplanes, where did he go from there?
Well, from there, he had his primary aviation training at Rockwell Field in San Diego, and he went overseas after he did his primary training at Rockwell Field. He went overseas in late January 1918 and got to France in February 1918. He received his secondary training at Issoudun in France.
Now, I understand, too, that Ernest A. Love, when he arrived at the University of California in 1917, he studied theory of flight, machine guns, bombs, motors, wireless, and rigging of planes, graduating in July of 17. How advanced do you think the courses were in those days compared to what we see today at institutions like ERAU?
Well, obviously, they're not very advanced. They were working on the what's called the JN4 Curtis Jennys at that time. They would study airframes. There was wireless Morse code they were working on, and they would all sit in an auditorium, and each one would be hooked up to a wireless Morse code. For instance,
Now, he was a first lieutenant rather than a second lieutenant, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, why did he go overseas and when?
As I said, he went overseas in January. He embarked on the SS Carpathia in January 1918, and all officers at that time went overseas as a ROTC cadet.
Mm-hmm. Now, the SS Carpathia, wasn't that the ship that rescued survivors from the Titanic?
That is correct.
Wow, what a history that has. So tell us what you know about the American Expeditionary Forces.
I'm not sure what exactly did you want to know about the American Expeditionary.
Now, I understand they didn't have much of a presence by 1917, but because most of the fighting was in 1918, right?
That is correct.
And he was trained to fly a Curtiss Jenny, but wasn't trained to fly warplanes then in use at the front in France, correct?
Yes. Flying the Curtiss Jenny did not qualify him to fly combat planes to the front. When he, after receiving his primary training in over here at Rockwell Field, he had to learn to fly combat planes in France. And so his secondary training, he had to learn to fly the French aircraft. And for instance, the first French airplane that he flew was a Marine Saulnier. And this was called a penguin, and they called it a penguin because it was a flightless bird that it couldn't actually take flight. It would just maneuver around on the ground, and it generally tipped up on its nose and it would break its propeller.
Oh.
And then the second airplane, they flew these two-seater Newport trainers, and after the training in the Newport trainers, he then went to gunnery training at Ferbara in Italy, and he was one of 52 American pilots to have received gunnery training at Ferbara.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us when your talk is coming up at ERAU.
Yes, that is Wednesday night. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and I'm also giving a lecture this afternoon at 4 p.m. at Charlotte Hall Museum.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to Ernest A. Love, when you switch fighter aircraft, what did he do to get acclimated to the new airplane?
To get acclimated to the new airplane, actually, he did not fly a Newport 28 prior to going to the 147th Aero Squadron. After gunnery training in Italy, he he ferried airplanes from France to England in June of 1918. He ferried a, for instance, it was called a Sopwith 1.5 strutter from France to England, then flew back a Sopwith Camel. When he was assigned to the 147th Aero Squadron in July of 1918, he had to essentially learn how to fly the Newport 28.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Ernest in combat immediately? How did he do in flying the fighters?
They were in the Chateau Thierry sector initially, which was essentially a quiet sector of the front. And they had to learn, they had to fly in groups. They were flying against Fokker D-7s, which were the best German fighters at that time. And so they had to fly in groups for protection. And so that's how he learned by flying in groups so he could protect himself. And he flew, first of all, he would fly training flights, what's called training flights and practice flights. And then he also flew a couple of gunnery practice flights on his Newport 28 before he actually flew an actual operational or combat patrol.
I understand on one of his first flights he hit a signpost and broke a propeller.
Yes, that is correct.
that's not a very auspicious beginning, is it?
No, it's not.
So, tell us about the end of Ernest A. Love's career. How did he finish his life?
How he finished his life, that was in the St. Mihiel Offensive on September 15th, 1918. And his patrol took off, and he was 3 or 4 minutes late on his flight, and he actually should not have taken off that day. He was flying a SPAD 13, and his particular engine that day, he had it souped up. What he did was he had a longer propeller than the other pilots, and his engine, His engine, he was supposed to have had, well, it was a 220 horsepower Hispano-Suiza engine, and he was supposed to be expecting 132 miles per hour out of it, but he was actually getting 137.5 miles per hour out of it because he had a longer propeller. Leaving 3 to 4 minutes late that day, he thought he could catch up to his patrol. But what happened that day was that they assigned a less experienced pilot to lead the patrol. And that particular pilot veered 14 miles off the assigned patrol route. And Ernest obviously didn't know that, and he couldn't catch up to the patrol. And flying alone, he ran into a 40 Victory Ace, Franz Buchner, German Victory Ace, flying the Fokker D-7, as well as the rest of his German Jasta, and he was then subsequently shot down after a long protracted dogfight, and then landed. He was wounded, and he landed in a essentially a courtyard of a German, or excuse me, a French church, and he was rescued by a French priest taken out of his airplane. But he was badly wounded. His arm was badly mangled, and he was taken into the church, and which essentially was a German field dressing station at the time, but he died the next day.
And as a result, we have Ernest A. Love Field here in Prescott. Now, most people nationally know about a Love Field in Dallas, which became famous, of course, because of the JFK assassination. Is that named for the same person?
No, it's not, as far as I know.
There we go. And that is Alan Rossler. You'll be speaking when again at ERAU?
That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
And today at 4 at Charlotte Hall, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We thank you very much for joining us on KQ&A with the stories about Ernest A. Love. Stay tuned because we're going to talk about a new movie opening up Friday in Scottsdale for blues lovers. You'll love it. It's called Chasing the Blues, and that'll be Scott Smith joining us in just a few minutes on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.com.
Recently, there have been reports about changing guidelines for how often most women should have a breast cancer screening. Is every year or every 2 years best? Yavapai Regional Medical Center recommends that you talk to your doctor, who can help guide you towards what's best for your own personal needs. Your doctor will help you consider your age, lifestyle, breast tissue density, and family medical history. From there, a personal screening program, including frequency and type of screening, can be determined. The Breast Care Center at YRMC in Prescott Valley has the resources to fully support your screening needs, from 3D mammography to dedicated breast MRI to assistance with genetic testing. And the Patient Navigator is there to help make your experience as easy as possible. Talk to your doctor or call the Breast Care Center at 928-442-8900 or visit yrmc.org.
California's got some sick waves, like worst quality of life, worst air quality in the nation, and huge electric bills.
Whoa!
Time to bail! So we're surfing into AZ with our California ideas, paid for by a California organization to change Arizona's constitution and raise your electric bills by 40%. It's gnarly!
Don't let California wipe out Arizona. Vote no on Prop 127, paid for by Vote No Arizona.
Arizona Cardinals football is live on AM 1130 and 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. Brought to you by Wallach and Volk Mortgage, Prescott True Value, Frontier Village, Country
going
Bank,
live
Prescott
in
Resort,
one minute, Scott,
Keys, Yavapai
hold
Casino,
on.
Prescott Dental Center, A&E Repro Graphics, Barrett Propane, the Yavapai County Contractors Association. The Cards visit Minnesota Vikings Sunday at 9:30 on AM 1130 and 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:20. We have on the line Scott Smith. Scott, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Welcome, and congratulations on your new movie. It's called Chasing the Blues. Tell us when it opens and where.
It opens October 5th, and it will be at the Harkins Shea 14 in Phoenix. And it's got, I guess it's Scottsdale, Phoenix. I'm not sure I haven't
Scottsdale,
been there.
Yeah, I believe it's Scottsdale. Now, Scott, you're the co-writer and director of Chasing the Blues, correct?
Uh-huh.
What got you involved in this project?
Well, several years ago, the producer I was working with found this short story called "Oh, Death, Where's Thy Sting?" about these two record collectors kind of vying for the same record. And it all took place in a old lady's apartment where they were trying to get the record from her. It was a short story, like I said, but as I read it, the characters were incredibly rich. The setting was wonderful. The conflict was great. And so I called up the author or the writer of the short story, who it turns out I ended up knowing, and asked if he would like to, write a screenplay with me based on the short. So it just kind of evolved from there, and and some more characters are born, and everything you have to do to make a story, an hour and 15 minutes.
Now, did the old lady have any idea of the value of this record?
No, not at all. That's sort of the fun of it.
There's a little trace of this story that reminds me of the Jack Black, John Cusack film High Fidelity.
Right. A lot of musical passion as well.
Yeah, indeed. Now, I understand that the way you describe this record is both treasured and rare, but cursed. Why is that?
Well, there's a myth about it that if whoever plays it will commit suicide or encounter death somehow, because the legend is the Jimmy Cain Baldwin, who went into the studio to record it, had just come from killing his girlfriend.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, Betty Sharper. And so the thing is that people say you can hear her screaming in the chorus throughout the thing. So that's what, and people with bad in their heart kind of mm-hmm. get affected by it.
Now, I understand, too, not only are these two guys chasing the record, but they end up doing something terrible, spend many years in prison, and start all over again when they get out of prison, correct?
They do. They what happens, and they don't really do it. It just kind of accidentally happens, but they get blamed for it, of course. The old lady dies, and they get put away, and once they get out, they resume their chase for the record again, but they find themselves 20 years later still vying for it.
Now, what kinds of reactions to the film have you seen at festivals and in critical reviews?
Good. I mean, a lot of laughs. Some people think it's a true story, which is funny when we get those Q&A questions. It got a couple Best Feature Awards, one at the Jackson Crossroads Festival, another one at the Lone Star Film Festival in Fort Worth. And, we're excited to get it a little wider with our release.
Now, viewers who see Chasing the Blues are going to recognize a few very well-known faces, aren't they?
Yeah. John Lovitz is probably the biggest face. Not that he has the biggest face, but he is a major part of the story. Steve Guttenberg has a cameo role, and then Mrs. Walker is played by Anna Maria Horsford, who has been in shows like Amen, and then there's a couple new people who haven't been out before: Grant Rossenmeyer and Ronald Connor, who play the record collectors.
Now, take me through the script writing process, starting with a very basic thing. Did you write it longhand, or did you use a script writing software?
No, I use a script writing software called Final Draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a lot easier because basically it's programmed in a format. So as you're writing, you know, you don't even think about how you're formatting it because it just intuitively goes to the next thing. Like if you're doing a new scene or, you know, if there's a conversation between two characters, once you hit return, it kind of predicts which character is having a conversation. So.
When I lived in Los Angeles, I went to the Samuel French bookstore, and I had, I thought I had a screenplay, you know, percolating within me. So I picked up a copy of Final Draft Pro, and I asked the clerk, "Why is this over $200?" And he came up with a great line. He said, "Final Draft Pro frees you from the tyranny of the tab key."
Nice.
I'm sure any scriptwriter can appreciate that.
Yeah, you just rely on the return key instead.
Now, what will blues lovers and music lovers get from watching Chasing the Blues?
Well, I mean, as you can imagine, music played a huge part in it. I have a huge passion for music in general. And, you know, we were pretty selective with the songs that we played in there. There are a lot of older blues, like Peg Leg Howell. We had Mississippi John Hurt, Sylvester Weaver. You know, so we weaved a bunch of this stuff in based on the scenes. I listened to, you know, a lot of music, and we were lucky to get, to get a lot of it. And it wasn't, you know, too expensive to license.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, we have some original music by an artist named The Bones of J.R. Jones. And he did our title track. And then at the end of the movie, there's a really cool remix by a guy named Cecil Otter, who, you know, throws a little hip-hop into it. So we kind of, you know, modernized it, which was really cool.
Now, I understand Chasing the Blues is opening at theaters Friday in L.A., Phoenix, Portland, Columbus, Philadelphia, Dallas, New York, all over the country's biggest markets. And then next week, it'll open in smaller markets like New Orleans, Buffalo, Salem, Chattanooga. This is quite an achievement for you. Is this your biggest movie success so far?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's the first one that's gotten this wide of a distribution, which is really exciting.
Now, as the director, I assume you did the casting for it also?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Take me through the casting process. What are you looking for in a role? And more to the point, have you ever had a certain idea what you were looking for in a certain character, and some actor came in, auditioned completely differently, but got the role? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would, a couple answers, I guess, to answer your last one first. John Lovitz is a perfect example of that. As we were writing the script, the character that John Lovitz had was not what I had pictured. I pictured kind of a more serious, weathered kind of guy, John got the script from his agent, which I didn't even know, and showed a lot of interest in it, and we talked, and so sort of reimagined some of the scenes, rewrote some of it, you know, and then because this character's from New Orleans, he wanted to put on a Southern accent, and so he tried that out for me over the phone, and he was really funny about it, so that's the case of kind of like, rolling with it and adapting, you know, my vision. Otherwise, casting takes its different thing, different ways. Like, when we were in Chicago, we went through a casting agency. At the same time, we were talking to some agents because we're getting at actors in different ways. I typically look for actors who are a little more subtle and take direction, really well and are very collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
I like that on the set, just kind of like, you know, how are they feeling and is it feeling right for the character? And so I find it a very collaborative experience.
I figure you were familiar with John Lovitz from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So at any time during the casting, did he blow a line and go, "Acting"?
No, but he
I can picture him doing that, by the way.
after he did a scene, you know, after he did a scene, he would, you know, do stuff like that was perfect.
Of course.
You know, stuff like, just kind of like done.
But isn't it nice to have an actor who doesn't take himself real seriously?
Yeah, although he is a very serious actor, he doesn't take himself seriously. But right. I was, surprised, you know, at the sort of intensity that he was into it. You know, once he was in character, once, you know, there was cut, he was back to like, you know, I'll be in my trailer.
Yes.
Bye-bye. You know, just kind of like having a lot of fun with everybody on the set.
I would imagine it was tough to keep a straight face around him, too.
There were definitely times. There were definitely times that it was hard.
Scott, tell us once again where the show will open in Scottsdale and when?
It's going to be at the Harkins Shea 14 Theater, and it opens October 5th, which I believe is Friday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And everybody should see it.
It sounds like
it's a really fun ride.
It sounds like a really, really fun film. You wrote the movie with, of course, yourself and Kevin Guilfoyle, correct?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And one last question I've got to ask you, because you've been a director and a screenwriter. What movie that you've seen yourself is most accurate about the life of a writer or a director?
Holy cow. Oh, my gosh.
See, I read a wonderful book called Tales from the Script, which has horror tales told by very, very successful screenwriters about how Hollywood really works. Well, let me ask you this then. How did you get your script into the hands of people who could get it produced? Because I understand if the script comes in over the transom, it gets thrown away.
Yeah, this was a very independent process. From the start, I was working with a producer. He's the one who found the short. And, you know, together we, you know, brainstormed and he got, you know, he went out and fundraised and got private equity and funds and all that kind of stuff. So, so it was a different process than going through, you know, the quote unquote studio system.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot more freedom as well.
Yeah, you don't get a lot.
It's hard.
You don't get a lot of suggestions, shall we say, from the marketing department, do you? Don't you just love all those post-it notes they send you?
Yeah, that wouldn't work very well.
That is Scott Smith. He is the co-writer and the director of Chasing the Blues. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Great success with your movie.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
You do. You too. Have a great day. Bye-bye. That is Scott Smith, and I'm going to take a break here. For Link with local news and weather, we'll be coming back with two actors from the PCA's news stage production, Tuesdays with Maury, on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lending is with you 100% of the way, which is why Wallach & Volk offers great rates with our 100% financing program. And you pay absolutely no money down. For more information about our extraordinary 100% financing program with zero money down, call us at 445-8730 or search us on the web at Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LMS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle brothers from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Seems like everybody's talking about pricing and not enough about quality.
Yeah, do you go to the brain surgeon that gives you the best deal or the one that does the best job?
Well, heating, air conditioning, and plumbing isn't brain surgery.
Oh, yeah? Have you looked inside a furnace lately?
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Excellent workmanship at a fair price with Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. Call 772-2751. Don't settle. Get Gettle's. 772-2751.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQA. Arizona Coyotes hockey is brought to you this season by Parshala Wood, Brown Bag Burger, Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling, and Cowboy Country Antiques.
He'll shoot! He scores!
The Coyotes visit the Dallas Stars live Thursday at 5:30, Monday at 11:30, 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley, and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why should I pay the same amount for a compact parking space as I do for a regular space, right? What kind of lot doesn't reward me for selflessly buying a smaller car to provide more parking room for others?
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
What do you hear? Most people just hear an engine. We hear a 6.2-liter Hemi V8 with a supercharger that accelerates so fast, it'll suck the air out of your lungs and knock you back in your seat like you're an astronaut in a rocket ship hurtling through the stratosphere. But then again, we're not most people. We're the Brotherhood of Muscle. Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
We're KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A your choice for your Tuesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. Due to concerns over flooding from heavy rainfall caused by Hurricane Rosa, sandbags are available to Yavapai County residents. A flash flood watch is in effect in the area until 5 tomorrow morning. Free sand and bags are available at the Yavapai County Public Works Yard on Commerce Drive in Prescott, at the Prescott Fire Stations on White Spar Road and Clubhouse Drive, and the Williamson Valley Road Trailhead. Colin Williams, Regional Communications Officer for the Greater Phoenix Chapter of the American Red Cross, is advising you to be prepared and aware of what's happening.
Think about the things that you're going to need if you have to evacuate your house. The best way to evacuate your house or your neighborhood. Communicate that plan with your family and friends so they know where to meet you or where to look for you if water were to rise.
Williams explains what else you can do to be prepared for flooding.
Keep those radios handy. Have a full tank of gas in your car. If your power goes out, you can still utilize the car as means of charging batteries and gathering information through the radio.
Sandbags are also on hand at Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority stations on Outer Loop Road in Prescott, Yavapai Road in Prescott Valley, Road 3 North in Chino Valley, and Sweet Valley Drive in Paulden. Enjoy a cup of coffee and conversation with a Prescott police officer.
The Prescott Police Department is hosting Coffee with a Cop at 8 tomorrow morning at Waffles and More, located on Iron Springs Road. There's no agenda, no planned speeches, just a chance for citizens to meet the men and women of the department, ask some questions, voice any concerns, and get to know each other. This meeting will also feature representatives of the patrol, support services, traffic, and command staff departments. Tomorrow is also National Coffee with a Cop Day. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Expect an overnight low of 55 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 70 tomorrow and a high of 68 on Thursday. 59 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Wednesday of 78 and a high on Thursday of 77. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQ&A.
When you reach your retirement age, 62 or older, additional income could make your current financial situation more stable. How about Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, commonly known as a reverse mortgage? Some advantages are no monthly principal and interest payment, monthly income, a line of credit, or both, plus you could delay your Social Security benefits.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley, at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
When it comes to seafood, think small. Sally B's is up the ante on their all-you-can-eat fish fry on Fridays with new oriental butterfly shrimp. That's right. Not only can you get their famous Icelandic cod for one low price, you can save a delicious shrimp like you've never had. Served with your choice of potatoes, veggies, soup or salad, and a dinner roll. The fish fry is every Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're in the Safeway Shopping Centre in Prescott Valley, Sally B's Cafe.
Vote for Sandra Kennedy for Corporation Commission. Sandra Kennedy is running for Arizona Corporation Commission. She is a former Corporation Commissioner who will lower utility rates, stop the corruption at the Corporation Commission, and create more solar and renewable energy in Arizona, especially rooftop solar, bringing thousands of jobs to rural Arizona. She will make Arizona the solar capital of the world and stop the corruption that is causing unjustified utility rate increases. Sandra Kennedy was the first to formally call out corruption on the commission. APS Pinnacle Pinnacle West spent millions of dollars in dark money in the last election cycle to keep her from being elected again to the Corporation Commission. And that tells us exactly what we need to know. Sandra Kennedy is who you need to support. If you want someone who will always stand up for you, the consumer, and fight to keep your utility bills lower, vote for Sandra Kennedy. She's on our side, not the utilities. Paid for by Kennedy 2018. Authorized by Kennedy 2018.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:40. We always love having folks here from the Prescott Center for the Arts. They have a very intimate show coming up. It's playing at the perfect venue at Stage 2, three dumpsters down in the alley, just by the PCA main stage. The stars of the show, playing Mitch and Maury, we have William Larson and Jonathan Perpich. William, tell us about your character.
Well, I'm playing Mitch Album, who is actually the author of the play. And he is a young man at the beginning and talking about his college years. And as it goes along, he describes his relationship with his favorite college professor, his sociology professor, Maury, and just how close they were during their time together in school. He kind of, life happens, as he says, and moves away, goes to New York, becomes a jazz pianist, and loses touch with his old professor and doesn't see or speak to him or hear from him for 16 years before finding out that he's dying of ALS, and decides to reconnect, gives him a phone call and you know, reconnects with that old professor and learns a lot about life after that.
Mm-hmm. So Mitch Albom, who you're playing, the author of the play, right, the author of the book,
mm-hmm.
he was a jazz pianist, or did I have that wrong?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think he's better known for being a sports writer in Detroit for all those years. Boy, talk about a renaissance man.
Yeah, he put himself through school playing jazz bars late at night.
Isn't that
yeah.
something? And JP, you portray Maury, correct?
Yes.
Now, that's got to be physically a very limiting role. How do you act your way in a role like that with so few resources available?
Well, it's actually a wonderful challenge. Being able to just be restricted to head movement and eye movement in the last couple of scenes just creates a whole different way to communicate. And I've heard from a few people who've seen it last night and then in rehearsals that that's part of what they respond to, is mm-hmm. that focused communication between Maury at the end and Mitch.
Mm-hmm. When you were going over the script, what struck you about it? What made you want to be Maury?
Wow. It's a beautiful book, and it's a really well-written script adaptation of the book. To be able to play Maury Schwartz is, it's just such an honor, and I hope that I'm bringing justice to the role. What he was able to share with his students and other people in his lives, and then of course with Mitch's book, with the rest of the world, is, something very, very close to my heart, my philosophy about the way that I like to live my life, or at least try to.
Mm-hmm.
And the messages that he delivered and the manner in which he delivered them is what drew me to this character.
And William, as Mitch, your character kind of reflects what I see from an awful lot of educators I interview, who say the greatest part of their job is when years after they have taught a student, the student contacts them and thanks them for being tough on them when they needed to be tough on, when they needed to expand, get out of their comfort zone, and try something more challenging, and it made a better life for them. You can identify with that, can't you, in that character?
Absolutely. Yeah, and as a student as recently as 2014, I've college professors that, really pushed me when I need to be pushed and also were more gentle when I needed that as well. And Mitch, immediately, as you see in the show, you get to see the moment when Mitch and Maury meet in that first class, and he's immediately kind of put on, pushed out of his comfort zone by Maury. And that continues through their college relationship, and then, of course, it rears its head again when they reconnect. Mitch is, after 16 years, is very comfortable with his life as a sports reporter.
and is very proud of himself. He, you know, is proud of the fact that he's making money. He's got a big house. And Maury has a very different set of values from Mitch. And so Mitch has to kind of put his ego aside at times, which is very difficult for him. But he's also confronting a lot of emotions about death in his family. He loses his uncle at a young age, at only 21. And that really hits home because his uncle is the one who taught him to play piano. And so that is a terrible, terrible experience for Mitch. And so he kind of pulls back from the world. And Maury dying himself shows Mitch that there's no reason to pull back from the world, especially in the face of death.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mentioned before we went on the air the irony that the main stage production that just ended, Guys and Dolls, was written by a sports writer, Damon Runyon, as was Tuesdays with Maury, of course. And, Jonathan, if you can explain for me, when you prepare for a role that's going to be at stage two, where everybody is so close to you, mm-hmm. how do you change from being, say, on the main stage?
There's a big difference, and the intimacy level is the biggest difference, being able to, and particularly this with a man who is losing his strength, losing his energy, losing his ability to speak as clearly and loudly as he was before. I can't, you know, we originally talked about doing this as a fundraiser for the new theater in the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard about that, I thought this is going to be a challenge, you know, in a way that I don't think we'll be able to get the intimacy necessary.
Mm-hmm.
When we changed it to stage two, it felt perfect, and it is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
You know, those of you who've been to stage two know that it feels like you're sitting in the living room.
Yeah, pretty much so.
And it gives me the opportunity to find more subtleties and to trust them and relying on that, as opposed to having to broadly, you know, bark out, you know, very quiet and intimate lines. And so, yeah, it's a great venue for this.
So on the main stage, are you having to play to the back row?
Always.
Oh,
always.
Absolutely, yeah. Whether it's filled or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, in stage two, there is no back row, is there?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, you can see all their faces. And it's a very emotional play. I mean, it deals a lot with death and loss. And we keep it very light. We keep it very – it's a very funny play. Maury's sense of humor is – beautiful. The way that JP delivers it is perfect, and I have a hard time not laughing on stage at some of the parts, but it does get very emotional. And we had our preview last night where we got to see an audience for the first time, and and you can see the tears coming down. You know, there's no distance between you and the audience, so that was actually, you know, harder than the actual scene for me, was looking out and seeing people in the audience who were feeling the same emotions that we were.
And in stage two, you can feel that yourself, can't you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. You can actually feel like going on that emotional ride with the people sitting there with you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I love working with Kathy is her creativity and her interesting approach to some of this. And she's incorporated some multimedia into this production. So there, we had a local filmmaker, Rob Milligan, who's just did terrific work with this. And, he shot quite a bit of stuff. And one of the things that he shot was an improv scene of Maury as a teacher at Brandeis University, teaching students in his sociology class about poetry. So we went and shot that. And, turns out that, Kathy liked it so much the way it turned out that she's playing that while the audience enters.
And okay.
She wanted to make it really clear that as people come in, that's just the allowing people to get comfortable and get seated. It's not necessarily part of the production. We had some people come in last night, you know, 7:10, 7:15, thinking that they were late because they see this movie happening. So I just want to make it clear to everybody that the play, actually the curtain is 7:30, but between 7 o'clock and 7:30, there'll be this video piece, like an old class of Maury. So.
Nice. William, I know you and the PCA are working very hard at planning a new 99-seat version of Stage 2. Is that correct?
Absolutely. A Black Box Theater right there on around our, right there on our campus, yeah.
And that would be, I believe, on the parking lot next to the main stage. Is that correct?
Yeah, just north of our offices, which is just north of the main stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us now, I'll have each of you list, if you can remember all of them, some of the productions you've been involved in with PCA. JP?
My very first production with PCA was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I played Chief Bromden in that. And I went on to play some roles that are just magnificent. I'm really a gift to be able to play Drummond in Inherit the Wind. And recently with Kathy, I got to play the King in Big River. I got to do Vanya. And I played Barney in Last the Red Hot Lovers. And just great roles. I mean, really, really lucky. Uncle Louie, I just finished with Jim Pyduck. We did Lost in Yonkers, and that's a terrific role. And
American Buffalo.
American Buffalo was probably
David Mamet,
favorite experience. I got to play Donnie, and that was just a remarkable theatrical experience for me. I was just talking to Jim the other day about what a gift that was.
Mm-hmm. And since you're in Inherit the Wind, if you read today's newspapers, everything old is new again, isn't it? Wonderful things come around full circle.
Indeed.
Will, tell us some of the plays you've been involved in with PCA.
Started actually with Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. I played Spike.
That wasn't very long ago, was it?
No, it doesn't. It seems like a long time ago. Since then, I've done the complete works of Shakespeare, Abridged, Rainmaker. I played JP's son in that. Staggeringly wonderful production of Fat Pig, and then...
Oh, you were quite the heel, weren't you?
Yes, I was. And then Big River, very recently as Tom Sawyer.
Tell, if someone is interested and wants to learn how to act on stage, is there something the PCA offers for that?
I would suggest, honestly, you know, show up to an audition, get involved in whatever way you can. A lot of people think that it's going to take, you know, there's a varying degree of experiences at PCA. And some people show up and out of the blue, they've never been on stage before and they get a part, you know, because you don't really know until you try is my best advice. And we're also looking at the future, looking at hosting more theater classes. JP has hosted classes in the past, and we're hoping he'll do so again in the future.
And JP, you've worked a lot of years in showbiz in Los Angeles. Is it still true that the four most important things for a new actor is, one, learn your lines, two, hit your marks, three, don't chew the scenery, four, don't trip over the furniture?
That's pretty basic and still pretty true.
Very good.
Hopefully in the meantime you get actually in touch with who this person is.
Yes, hopefully indeed. Jonathan Perpich, William Larson, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to Tuesdays with Maury, which plays when?
October 4th through the 21st, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and Sundays at 2 p.m.
At the Black Box Theater, Stage 2, just behind Peregrine Books, right?
Absolutely.
The Blue Dumpster.
By the Blue Dumpster, there you go. With the light bulb over the door, just like in Greenwich Village, right?
There you go.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned. I've got some final thoughts and Wednesday's Q&A guests coming your way on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
With eyes as unique as yours, you need options. At Nationwide Vision, we've been Arizona's eye care professionals for over 30 years and can help you find the perfect eyeglasses to fit your vision needs. You can get two pairs of eyeglasses for just $99.99, including no-line bifocals, now also serving Arizona in select JCPenney locations. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com to schedule your appointment today. Nationwide Vision. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
For 2,000 years, we've defended life and cared for the poor. We built hospitals and orphanages and started the university system. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, the church founded by Jesus. If you've been away from the Catholic faith, come home to Sacred Heart Church. We've been saving souls in Prescott for 140 years. Visit us at sacredheartprescott.com.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, this is Tuesday. You know what that means. Tuesday Night Classics at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley. Tonight, the Harkins is showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show, the original and the classic. Just make sure you bring your own toast. Now, because this is October, keep in mind the titles they have for the rest of the month on Tuesday nights. Next week, they have Aliens on the 16th. Halloween on the 40th anniversary of the original release of a John Carpenter classic. On the 23rd, Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall in The Shining. And on the 30th of October, Nightmare on Elm Street. Also, the Wednesday Night Classic series continues at the Prescott Elks Theater tomorrow with The Neverending Story. For the rest of October, they will have on Wednesday nights Beetlejuice on the 10th, Psycho on the 17th, Hocus Pocus the 24th, and for the 31st, The Shining. So you can see The Shining twice in 8 days on the big screen. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, then Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley. Join me here tomorrow with my guest, Debbie Stewart, for the Seniors and Caregivers Expo. Jerry Kidrick from Wings Out West at ERAU, and Dennis Hauser for the Prescott Corral. That's Q&A Wednesday at 2, when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.